Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, San Francisco is clean. Why? Because Winnie the Pooh is here. He is back to see his colony. And we talk about the latest from the Rana Resign movement. And then we're joined by an FCC commissioner to talk about a sneaky new regulation that might be coming after your internet. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Come to America Fest. That's amfest.com. We have Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Rob Schneider, Josh Hawley, Steve Bannon, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Donald Trump Jr. Amazing speakers and more to be announced at amfest.com. That is amfest.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I want to bring to your attention a very important story here, and we have a great guest to walk us through it. So until September, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, which we are regulated by here because we are on AM and FM radio, was balanced with two Republicans and two Democrats. Now that it has a Democrat majority, it's starting to enact a very radical social agenda, everybody. And one such radical step just happened. The FCC just recently adopted a, quote, digital discrimination order on a 3-2 party line vote. So here to speak with us today about this is Republican FCC Commissioner Nathan Symington, who was appointed by President Trump back in 2020. Mr. Symington, thank you so much for joining us. Please tell us all about this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Charlie. This item takes a short section in the 2021 infrastructure bill and uses it to spin out a sprawling government takeover of the internet. Section 6 of 506 did pass with some Republican votes, but its language was not nearly broad enough to support what the Democratic majority just voted to do with it. And I'm sure people would not have voted for it if they knew that this was what would follow.
Well, so look, the government taking over the internet sounds very sinister. So I just want to be very specific. How is the government taking over the internet? I mean, are they going to like nationalize Google? What are they going to start taking over? Walk us through this.
Absolutely. Well, when people think about the internet, they think about the sites and apps that they're using. But there's also a lot of physical infrastructure there, and it's very costly. So this is bad in a different way. It's about taking over the physical side, cell towers, fiber optic cables, servers. The justification is that some low-income or minority areas have relatively low amounts of high-speed internet. So the FCC took just three words from the law, preventing digital discrimination, and decided that these low levels of internet subscriptions show discrimination by cell phone and internet providers just because they exist. Then the majority goes further and says any difference in service can be discrimination. Does one neighborhood have higher prices? Does one place have slower speeds, outdated equipment? If there's any difference, we can call it discrimination, and we can fine them whatever we want or order them to build whatever they want.
So what would the ramifications of this potentially be? Could the FCC just fine you for providing internet in a racist way, as they deem racist?
I mean, pretty much. It's a blank check. They could say, you have to build brand new fiber internet for this one town with 500 people. Some member of Congress wants it. And then you have to charge them the same price you charge in downtown Phoenix, where we'd have 10,000 people on the same line. And if you don't, here's a $10 million fine for you. Or here's another illustration. So you're deciding where to build out new fiber service. You're choosing an area between areas where you might make $1 million a year versus $2 million a year. The rational decision, of course, is you build out to the area where you're going to have more uptake. Among other things, that would serve more people. But the FCC could fine you because it turns out that that was a more white area, whereas the $1 million a year area is majority-minority. And so the FCC is mandating what amounts to affirmative action and racial quotas for everything that the companies do.
Yeah, so I that just sounds like a mafia shakedown. Right. I mean, I want to just make sure we're clear. You said it's a federal government takeover of the Internet. Can you elaborate on that specific labeling?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, we deal with regulated industries all the time, and that's not necessarily a takeover. Sometimes it's just everyone coming together and agreeing what they want the industry to look like and putting rules in place. But here there are no standards for when you have to bring a case or not, for how much you can fine, for what orders you can give. Basically, there are no rules. And so the real effect is going to be that companies will be terrified because they won't know what they're allowed to do. The real question of what they're allowed to do is going to be determined by how much effort they spend sucking up to the government. And anytime the government wants them to do something, they'll have no choice but to come running and do it, because the penalty for not doing that is potentially an endless legal nightmare.
So we've introduced this idea of a skeleton key before. I think Christopher Caldwell's book, Age of Entitlement, talks about how good intentions and a broadly written law can then be really given all the power to the enforcers or to the bureaucrats, and especially for left-wing type priorities. Do you think that this fits into the criteria of an idea of a skeleton key law?
Absolutely. So no one is arguing, certainly not me, no one is arguing for the idea that companies should discriminate in how they lay out broadband. But using this idea that any difference in the real world amounts to discrimination, is sufficient evidence of discrimination, is the way that you turn every three-letter agency, whether that's us at the FCC, whether that's the Federal Trade Commission, the FBI, the DOJ, whether you turn it in effect into a DEI agency. Every project has to have requirements and preferences. Every agency has to be turned into a civil rights agency. So housing and urban development, for example, they're trying to make it a legal requirement for cities to build low-income housing projects next to or in the middle of any nice neighborhoods they have. There really doesn't seem to be any problem that can't be solved by calling people racist and punishing them for some other unrelated business decision. So another example, another one of the federal telecom agencies, NTIA, I'm an alumnus of them, they're distributing $40 billion in subsidies to build fiber internet, but they've loaded up the program. It's not just a fiber building program. It's a union labor mandate program. It's a DEI requirement program. It's a preference for government-owned internet services program. And so, you know, whether or not you think any of those things are a good idea, the point is that they've been put in regs, and therefore the agency has been diverted from its purpose to start doing all of these other DEI type things.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess a question I have is corporate America lobbying against all of this? I mean, do the traditional big uglies of the big firms, where is their stance on this?
Yeah, because, you would think that it's in their interest to have as much freedom of operation as possible. And to a degree, that's true. And there will be counter pressure coming from some of the big companies in this area. But sometimes they sort of bring it on themselves. So if you look at the item that we just did at the FCC yesterday, when the underlying bill was still in Congress, a lot of corporate lobbyists actually said, we're okay with it. Congress gave them tens of billions in federal handouts as part of the same thing. So despite all those woke strings being attached, overall, they decided that it was worth it to be bought off. We need them to realize that this is, in the words of my colleague, Brandon Carr, a Faustian bargain. In 10 years, the handouts will be gone, but they'll have this digital equity albatross forever. It will never be enough. There's no way that you can ever make someone happy if there's no standard for what compliance is. On the other hand, by the time this comes along, people who were present at the original decision may well have collected their bonuses, retired. It won't be their problem anymore. It'll be our problem.
This is not a rule that's going to get front page New York Times treatment, but it's an excellent example of the subtle yet significant power of the federal bureaucracy. And hundreds of these decisions are made every single year. Not all of them get, by the way, the FCC has a board, right? Not every agency has a board. And it just so happens, you know, we're here to talk about this. Think about the hundreds of other micro decisions the bureaucracy is making in equity and racial this. It adds up to a less free country. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investment. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/charlie. That is paxfg.com/charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/charlie. So I guess the immediate question is, will this affect my own internet?
Well, it definitely will, because the federal government is putting out a huge amount of money for this, but all that money is competing with each other. You know, you can't just wish resources into being by writing a check. Even if you've got the power of the U.S. Treasury behind you, there's just physical limitations on how many workers there are, how long it takes to trench and put in fiber, how long it takes to build the tower and hang radios off it, whatever you might want to ask. It's going to make everyone's internet much more, over time, more costly. And the worst thing is it's going to deflate the value of developing a project. So fewer projects will get developed. Corporations don't just have big pots of money. They go out and get financing just the way that, you know, you might take out a construction loan to build an office building or some such. And all of those deals are going to be implicitly deflated by this. So we can expect high priority political areas to get the best results out of this and the forgotten middle to get the worst.
Yeah, can you just kind of speak for a second of how the FCC is composed and how many members of the board are there? Just for the uninitiated to our audience, explain it. And then also explain your purview.
Sure. So with the FCC, there's five of us. That's a recent development. Because the third Democratic seat was only filled in September. So for most of the Biden administration, there hasn't been a third Democrat, and we've been in a 2-2 situation, which may explain why this item didn't come up until now. But the most important thing about us is that at the commissioner level, we're independent. That means appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate. After that, you can't get fired unless you're committing crimes. So that lets me get out here and say what I really think without having to worry that that the secretary of something or other is going to fire me over it. Regarding the purview, so the FCC kind of got started for two reasons. Number one, the old AT&T phone monopoly, which was a government-backed monopoly that was the alternative. The United States was the only country in the world not to have a socialized national phone system at the time. So we said, no, we're going to let a private company run it. We're just going to supervise it. And the FCC was put in place to do that. The other thing was to coordinate radio broadcasting. When radio was a young field, no one knew how to coordinate frequencies, and people would just run up the power level on transmitters and try to interfere with each other in the best markets. Obviously, that wasn't workable. So we started a system of assigning frequencies and sort of took it from there. So in the modern day, it's cell phones, it's the phone network, it's also radar, it's satellite communications, undersea cables, pretty much any interstate communication by radio or wire.
So that's very helpful. Thank you. Just talk to the process. Sure. Is that there's term limits, right? Is that correct? There are terms on each one of the board members?
5-year terms.
Yeah. And so then what if there were to be a different winner of the election, like if Trump, for example, were to win next November, what would that mean for vacancies on the board?
The chairman, or in this case, the chairwoman, it's tradition. The chair resigns on inauguration day at 9 a.m. So Trump's FCC chair, Ajit Pai, still had time left in his term, but he resigned on inauguration day. And so the tradition is that every president gets to pick his own chair.
Got it. So let me just kind of final question here. You were a federal regulator during the Obama administration. Why were we able to have you come on and say this, and we don't hear this from other agencies like the FBI unless we get a whistleblower?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't here for the Obama administration. I took office in 2020. But nonetheless, yes, I'm politically independent. That is a really unique thing about how our agency works, because we have enforcement powers, which is like the executive, but we also have rulemaking powers, which is like the legislative. And so they made us independent so that we weren't beholden to either one of those, because it would be a stealing of power from the other branch, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of some other agency, at the end of the day, the person on top may be confirmed by the Senate and nominated by the president, but is not politically independent. And instead, they might serve at the president's pleasure. Well, you want to get on the wrong side of the president, that's a very quick way to get transitioned out of your job.
Nathan Symington, thank you so much. Excellent job. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Huge pleasure, Charlie. Take care.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Xi Jinping is visiting the colony of San Francisco. This whole thing is very bizarre. So first, Gavin Mussolini goes over to China and he does a visit there, runs over a bunch of Chinese kids when playing basketball. The whole thing's very strange. He takes some sort of GQ Vogue photo op on the Great Wall of China, his shirt unbuttoned. It's very clear that Joe Biden sent Gavin Newsom. And Joe Biden says, hey, pal, I don't want to make the flight. You go. Because I guess they were doing kind of like a trip swap type thing. And so Gavin goes to China and Xi Jinping comes to America. So Xi Jinping lands and he's coming to see his colony. He's invested so heavily into capturing the elite of America. And boy, they have delivered. So there's several takeaways here that are critically important. The first of which is the most obvious. When I visited Seattle this last summer, it was a mess. It was dirty. It was filled with vermin and swine and homeless people and degenerates and drug addicts and raging lunatics come up to your car and start beating. It's a disgusting city. I started talking to one of the people at my hotel. I said, this is unrecognizable. I said, yeah, but it was actually pretty nice for a couple weeks this summer. I said, why? I said, what changed? I said, well, we had the MLB All-Star Game in Seattle this summer, and they cleaned everything up. I said, well, isn't it really demoralizing that if they're all the media cameras are coming, they clean everything up, and then they don't care afterwards? I said, yeah, it's demoralizing. It also shows they can fix it. This can be fixed. Urban dirtiness can be fixed. Now, I find it hilarious that of all the things that motivate them to clean up the streets of San Francisco, it's Xi Jinping. As many people have been commenting, Gavin Newsom gives a long speech assuring San Francisco homeless they can go back to pooping on the streets once Xi Jinping returns back to China. Play cut six.
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true. But it's also true, for months and months and months prior to APEC, we've been having different conversations.
You're not as smart as you think you are, Gavin. It's true, because it's true. It also shows elections don't mean anything in California. He knows that he's got that job for life if he wants it. Total totalitarian dictator. Maybe he's not that different than Xi Jinping. So Xi Jinping arrives and Gavin greets him. Hey, old pal, how you doing? Xi Jinping's motorcade drives through San Francisco and it's noticeably clean. It's the cleanest San Francisco has been in multiple generations. Who would have known? All we have to do to clean up the streets of San Francisco is fly in dictators. Play cut 64. Where are the American flags? What's with all the Chinese flags? Not a single U.S. flag. But to be fair, they probably didn't remove any. You know what they probably had to remove, though? Some gay flags. CCP's not big into pride. It's not a core Confucian value to have men become women. So they're meeting. Xi Jinping and Biden decides to fly in. He's like, oh, I can take the cross-country flight. Let's go to cut 107.
Gavin was ready to take the relationship to the next level until he found out there was someone else, Joe Biden. The president flew in on Air Force One. Now Newsom had competition. When Xi saw Joe, they couldn't keep their hands off each other. As Joe likes to brag, he spent more time with Xi than anyone else. Not to mention the fact that Xi's guys bribed the Biden family. The chemistry was unmistakable.
I've never doubted what you've told me in terms of your candid nature in which you speak.
I still remember our interactions very vividly, and it always gives me a lot of thoughts.
Thoughts or thoughts? That's the question. So look, the Chinese Communist Party is the great enemy of America, but he comes in and gets a hero's welcome here in the country. And just to be fair, you should always be talking to leaders, even if they're their enemies. I totally supported Trump having him over to Mar-a-Lago, but you got to be very clear about what you stand for. So Xi Jinping comes to San Francisco. Now, the one thing we can hope for is Xi Jinping goes back to China and he gives a big speech. We are no longer embracing left-wing Marxism. He's like, that's a mess. Like, he goes back and he just denounces the whole thing. It's like, geez, that's what we're heading towards? But understand, the bromance between Gavin, Biden, and Xi Jinping, it's deeper than you might think. China is not an enemy. They're not a competitor. China is the goal. We've said for quite some time that the lack of understanding of Maoism will be our downfall. We are living through a cultural revolution. Xi Jinping runs the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese Communist Party is the same project started by Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong launched a cultural revolution. He had a moment where people could speak out and there could be free speech until repressive tolerance came. Struggle sessions were Maoist. There were 10 different categories that were created in mainland China. 5 for fascists, 5 for communists. Parents were incentivized to train their kids in the communist way, and the kids were incentivized to turn in their parents if they were not 100% behind the party. The American leadership look at Xi Jinping and they privately say, man, it must be awesome. It must be awesome, Mr. Xi Jinping, that you have all this power, that you can do whatever you want whenever you want to do it. The American ruling elite, Gavin Newsom and Joe Biden, they want to be more like Xi. They don't look at this as a conflict between two countries. They look at America, hopefully, to become closer to the Chinese Communist Party model. Cut 108, Winnie the Pooh says that China wants to be friends with the U.S. Yeah, even though they attack us cyber, they send in their kids to our schools to spy on us, they buy up land near military bases, they dump steel, solar panels, and critical infrastructure and plastic. They pump fentanyl into our country in the reverse opium wars. They have digital fentanyl through TikTok. By the way, did China ever pay for COVID? Did they ever pay for COVID, for creating a virus in the laboratory? Did anyone even mention it? Of course not. Joe Biden is there to go kiss the ring of who's been paying for the lifestyle for the Biden family for years. Play cut 108.
Whatever stage of development it may reach, China will never pursue hegemony or expansion and will never impose its will on others. China does not seek spheres of influence and will not fight a Cold War or a hot war with anyone. China will remain committed to dialogue and oppose confrontation and build partnerships instead of alliances. It will continue to pursue a mutually beneficial strategy of opening up. The modernization we are pursuing is not for China alone. We are ready to work with all countries to advance global modernization featuring peaceful development, mutually beneficial cooperation, and common prosperity, and to build a community with a shared future for mankind.
I mean, everything he's saying is a lie. They lie professionally. They don't have a moral code like we do in the West. It's all about power. It's all about expanding the Chinese Communist Empire. They own ports of entry all throughout Africa and South America. The Belt and Road Initiative is the recreation of taking over the world. I mean, I could go through the list. And our leaders take it. Our leaders say, oh, yes, must be so great. What great relations that we have. In a rare moment of honesty, Joe Biden calls Xi Jinping a dictator. Not exactly smart diplomacy, but honestly, I respect the candor. Play cut 109.
After today, would you still refer to President Xi as a dictator? This is a term that you used earlier this year.
Well, look, he is. I mean, he's a dictator in the sense that he is a guy who runs a country that is a communist country that's based on a form of government totally different than ours.
Are we becoming more like China, or is China becoming more like America? The promise of free trade and the promise of neoliberalism is that eventually China would become like America. They become a liberal democracy with private property rights and entrepreneurship and free speech. We were sold by the Mitt Romneys of the world and the Paul Ryans of the world and George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. We were sold by the Bill Clintons and even to a lesser extent Ronald Reagan that eventually China would liberalize and they would just become an open-minded country because the more we trade with them, the more it changes their values, and the opposite happened. The more that we have traded with China, they have got wealthier, but they've also become less free. They've become far more totalitarian, less open to different and new ideas. Most Americans never used to worry about the Chinese Communist Party until Trump woke us up. And understand, the Chinese Communist Party owns Joe Biden, owns many members of the American government. Here's a montage of Joe Biden saying the rise of China was good, of course, because he's on the payroll. He's a traitor to the United States, and he's an agent of the Chinese Communist Party. Play cut 67.
Let me be clear. I believed in 1979 and said so, and I believe now that a rising China is a positive development, not only for the people of China, but for the United States and the world as a whole.
We want to see China rise, to continue to rise in a responsible way that will benefit you most, China, because you have an important role to play. A rising China can be a significant asset for the region and the world, and selfishly for the United States.
He is an agent of the Chinese Communist Party. Story in Politico.com. Very interesting. We are mentioned. You guys are mentioned, actually, all of us together. Ronna McDaniel's under siege, and her critics concede she's likely to survive. For now, we shall see. She is likely to survive for the time being. It goes on to say that the members of the 168 and the RNC, they think she's doing a great job. I want to read one of these here. So there's a guy, Jeff Kaufman, brave soul, from Iowa. He thinks that Ronna's doing amazing. Having worked with Chairwoman Ronna over the past two election cycles, I could not have asked for a better partner to help us ensure historic up and down Republican victories in Iowa. Without her support, Iowa and the Iowa caucus would not be the first in the nation. She has my full confidence as we head into the thick of caucus season. Okay, that's not an unfair statement. As far you have to fight for your state. You have to fight for your state, so you get the caucus. But is she going to help us win the White House? And by the way, Jeff Kaufman, it's not because of Ronna that Iowa has turned red. It's because of Trump. Trump has turned Iowa from battleground state to a deep red state. Period. End of story. Iowa was a 50-50 state. Barack Hussein Obama won it in 2008. And Iowa is now deep red because of Trump, not because of Ronna. But Jeff Kaufman, your argument is that we should have Ronna remain the chair because you guys got the Iowa caucus first. Like, that's a really, I get that's what you have to do. You should fight for that in Iowa. By the way, I believe Iowa should be first. That's a bad argument for why she should stay chair of the RNC. were mentioned here. Quote, Charlie Kirk urged Trump to push for a change in leadership. Quote, there's still time to course correct on many of the structural problems of the RNC, Kirk said in a statement, but we need to move fast. Kirk and Turning Point have tried to unseat McDaniel in the latest RNC election, but we fell short. That is correct. We did fall short. In the aftermath of last week's elections, the simmering frustration with McDaniel has become far more pronounced. North Carolina GOP Chair Michael Whatley says, I was disappointed with a vague statement. What the RNC is trying to do is give every one of these candidates an opportunity to communicate their message to American people. Hey, Michael Whatley, why aren't you disappointed that we got our clock cleaned last Tuesday? There is a petition. It's firerana.com. It's brought to you by Vivek Ramaswamy. Laura Ingraham kind of butted heads with Rana. Play cut 13, please.
Why should you retain your job given the track record of the party under your leadership? And to that, what do you say?
Well, first, I'm going to continue to focus on Joe Biden and Democrats. And I think there was a moment missed during that debate by Vivek to talk about the fact that we still have 13 American hostages in Israel, the fact that for the first time ever in the history of either party, we had a Jewish co-sponsor for a debate, and we are in very perilous times in our country.
No, I'm sorry. Enough gaslighting. Are you a winner or a loser? Enough of the fluff, okay? And by the way, I'm so tired of this. I don't do messaging. I do messaging. I can't spend money on state races. You get your act together, okay? It's like an escape hatch. It's like constantly, hold on a sec. I can't pin this thing down. Play cut 14.
One of the things, Rana, that happened was, I think in Virginia, people were wondering where the money was, whether they were going to get some help from the RNC. And I know at one point you said that you were not asked for money in Virginia, but a source, a Republican source familiar with the Youngkin team in Virginia, told The Angle late tonight that is false. And well, there, meaning your story keeps changing. Anyone who thinks Virginia Republicans wouldn't want help when we knew we'd be outspent isn't being serious. You know, Rana, outspent by $8 million.
Glenn Youngkin and it did a phenomenal job, and he raised a lot of money. A lot of people don't understand fundraising. I can't raise state dollars. I don't get unlimited convention and state dollars. And these were state House and state Senate races. The RNC is a federal committee. So, I mean, come on.
First of all, what are you talking about? I think there are segregated accounts, but is it not true that the RNC data is used by Republican candidates up and down the ballot? True or false? So this is like a major slippery gaslighting thing. And when the great Larry O'Connor asked you about it, you said, oh, they didn't need the money. You didn't use that answer. So it's either you can or you can't. Do you do messaging? We don't do messaging. It's the candidate's fault. Here's the essence. Losing. Gotta go. Gotta go. It's not personal. You're a sweet person. Go find something else to do. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.